Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab those boards and swim out into that big sea of ideas because we got a lot to talk about today here with our host, Matt Hines. Welcome, sir.
How are we doing, Paul?
How can I not be doing good? The Lakers, my Lakers, are back in the world championship again, and they won game one, even if there's going to be a little asterisk after the thing. You think this year's playoffs will be, well, yeah, it's not quite the same.
No, absolutely not. Look, the NBA and the NHL has essentially played a full season. As a baseball fan, I worry a little bit about this year's world champion, right? I mean, like, you played a 60 games and a season, and, right. And the playoffs have been, you know, a little more difficult with an extra round. No, I think it's legit. And I think, look, it's just for LeBron James, basically whatever team he goes to just ends up in the finals almost automatically.
Unbelievable. Yeah, right. This is, I think, is it 9 or 10? I think it's 10. I think this is number 10.
This is 10 finals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done that.
If that's not, I mean, like, I mean, people make the comparison between LeBron and Jordan. Like, did Jordan play in that many finals?
No, he played in 6 and won 6. So he's always the king. But
that's pretty darn good.
Kobe went to 7 and won 6. He's been in 10, but he's only won 3. This might be number 4.
I mean, you know, Hank Aaron was not known for hitting 50, 60 home runs. He never had like the Mark McGwire years. But consistency, excellence over time, and you're the home run king. So I don't know.
I got to meet him when I was a little boy. I got to go down to in Milwaukee when he was still with the Braves, and I got a baseball signed by Hank Aaron. How about that?
That's amazing.
Well, with that, now that
I'm
just
jealous. Let's just talk about baseball. I'm reading a new. I guess it's kind of an autobiography. It's co-written by Willie Mays and sort of a ghostwriter. But it's a bunch of stories about Willie Mays, and then, you know, there's bold sections, and if it's a bold section, that's in Willie's words, and it's just, I love just those old stories just of base. I mean, like I wish more of those players were able to play in the majors more than they were. You know, there are players like Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Satchel Paige and others that, you know, we just didn't get to see enough of them because they were in the Negro Leagues. But, man, those were some.
Well, today, to bring it all back around, you have another superstar on today, and you're going to talk about another changeup. Is outbound the new normal? We're changing the pitch.
Well, someone's got to transition into sales and marketing conversation, and it clearly wasn't going to be me. So, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on another episode of Sales Pipeline Radio. Very happy that you're all here. Very quickly, if you're listening live on the Funnel Media Radio Network, thanks so much for joining us in the middle of your workday. If you're joining us on the podcast, thanks so much for subscribing and downloading. This has been a record year, Paul, of people checking out the podcast in a pandemic. It's been pretty exciting to watch. And if you want to catch up, if you're new to the program and you want to see what we've been up to, you can catch all of our past episodes on demand at salespipelineradio.com. We do have an amazing guest today. Every week we're featuring some of the best and brightest minds in B2B sales and marketing today. Absolutely no different. The CMO of Science Technologies from beautiful San Diego, California, Eric Quanstrom. Eric, how are we doing?
I'm dynamite, Matt. I couldn't have asked for a better intro.
I always give Paul a hard time because he's down in SoCal. He's more sort of Orange County area. And so I always give him crap about, you know, when he talks about the rain, I call it beach drizzle. And my wife is from San Diego, and I realize it's not quite June gloom time, but how are we doing down there? Do you have forest fire smoke, or is San Diego just as beautiful as usually is?
It's beautiful as it usually is, but we are in the middle of what is now fire season. So it's always a concern. And a few weeks ago we had kind of a lot of ash in the air. So who knows what's the new normal these days anymore?
Well, hopefully we can get some of those fires out, clear the sky up, and be able to differentiate between the marine layer and the smoke, because marine layer is a little healthier. But no, appreciate you joining today. And, you know, so much we can talk about. Eric, I've known you for a while, and you've led fast growth startups in the marketing side for a long time. And I'm very intrigued by what you guys are doing at Science Technologies. So maybe just talk a little bit about the company, what you guys do, and sort of what marketing's role is there.
Absolutely. So Science Technologies is a little over 5 years old. In that time, we've worked with over 1,000 different organizations, helping them, and I think this is really appropriate for your audience, build pipeline. I'm on Sales Pipeline Radio, and that is literally our mission and goal in life, is to mainly through orchestrated outbound, go in and source new sales opportunities for each one of our clients. And, you know, we have clients as big as Google and as small as sales consultancies with 2 people in the entire company, and frankly, a lot of businesses in between. So turns out that we have a really large total addressable market. And what's exciting about that is we get to work with a lot of different types of B2B businesses. and bring a lot of our thinking, our methodologies, our ways of conducting multi-channel outbound to the table. And so it never gets boring around here.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, as Paul mentioned, I think one of the things I want to talk about is sort of the role of outbound in marketing today. Because I think for years we've heard about the darling of inbound marketing, that we need to earn all the prospects to come to us. And, you know, even during a pandemic, oh, the phone's dead. No one's answering the phones. You know, everyone's sort of going into their digital holes. And both the data that I've seen from companies, the research I've seen from people over the last couple of months of what's working, and then even some of the stories you've been able to share, not only is outbound not dead, it is alive and thriving, and a lot of companies are using it in, you know, in smart strategic ways to build their pipelines. I want to first talk about why is outbound still working, and then I do want to also differentiate between like good outbound and all the bad outbound that we still see. So let's start with how and why is outbound still thriving the way that it is?
Well, I think that number one, outbound works because it's taking a very specific targeted approach to having a vendor, solution provider, services-based company that wants to land a specific logo or specific logos going forward, and then backfills with all of the motions necessary to create sales opportunities for themselves with that targeted group. And that's really the secret sauce, if you will. A lot of people, you know, the heritage of outbound has negative connotations. You know, you hear people calling it cold calling or cold outreach. I like to look at from the standpoint of a vendor forward. When you're choosing go-to-market strategies, outbound is extremely relevant because ultimately you get to pick your direction. You get to pick purposely the motions in which you use, the messaging in which you use, the targets in which you're speaking to. And having all of that be very premeditated are the ingredients for running successful outbound campaigns.
Well, and I think what's important to keep in mind in there is that you're being targeted with your message, but you're also being respectful of the prospect. And talk a little about why that approach, like having a buyer-centric approach, is so important to making outbound work so it doesn't feel like another interruptive cold call.
Yeah, I think that if you're not leading with the personas, if you're not leading with a buyer-centric mentality, then you're not going to have that much success, and you're frankly doing it all wrong. Largely because anytime you are coming onto their radar, regardless of channel, whether it's phone, email, social, primarily LinkedIn, web, or even kind of advertising, the ideas are really around putting a message into a place where it can be relevant to the prospects themselves. If you're irrelevant, if you're just kind of pushing your agenda, pushing your features, your benefits, me, me, me is what I like to call that, you're going to get tuned out and you're going to get ignored. And I'll tell you this, most of our client companies and who we're reaching out to and their ideal client profiles, including our own, are very smart, super savvy, ambitious executives. And their pattern matching capabilities of, you know, kind of tuning out the noise are extraordinary. So I think that the bar for conducting outbound campaigns that work is already really high. It's really about each company kind of getting their game together to where they can, you know, develop commercial insights, where they can have interesting hooks or reasons why you should pay attention to their brand, their product, their service in light of a prospect's own needs.
Talking today on Sales Pipeline Radio with Eric Quanstrom. He's the CMO at Science Technologies, and we're talking all about outbound and how to make outbound work. And I think, you know, when you talk, Eric, about sort of this cold call, and boy, cold call in the industry sometimes feels like a dirty word. Like people are like, oh, you can't cold call. Cold calling's dead. But calling cold is really not that different than emailing cold, than, you know, sort of reaching someone cold in another channel. I mean, every relationship starts cold until you prove you have something interesting to say. Is it because the phone is seen as more interruptive that it's seen as such a bad thing and cold emails are okay? Because I think your message about sort of approaching that call by saying, I know who I'm calling. I know why that's, I have something of value for them. I'm not going to assume my first call is going to work. I'm not going to assume that like cold call or cold email to a cold list is going to yield a high conversion rate. You know, how much of this is about approach and how much of this is about sort of patience and discipline for a process that sometimes can take some time?
It's all of the above. If that were an SAT question. You know, targeting matters, messaging matters, And the way in which the craft in which you outreach also matters. So, yeah, people are generally disdainful or feel like something's interruptive if they can't immediately be taken to the value of why call. One of the things that I like to look at or break down kind of the interaction, if you will, on behalf of any SDR that's placing a call to any targeted ideal customer prospect on the other end of the line would really be around what value am I bringing to the table and why am I reaching out in the first place? Understanding that is something that's really important. In fact, if I kind of just take the cohort of the prospect themselves, I ask myself, because I've been on the buy side for 2 decades now, and I think it's pretty relevant because I'd like to say that I think I've seen and heard it all. Where do new ideas come from? Where does value come from? Where does finding a better solution, a better answer to a project or a need that my company has actually come from? Certainly, it can't be within the sphere or locus of control of one individual. I think that, you know, it's probably an underappreciated thing, but the ability to source and set an agenda from an outbound perspective is a really powerful one. And the data kind of supports this. If you look at all of the most successful companies in the B2B space, all the fastest growing companies, they've been running outbound campaigns for pretty much their whole growth trajectory. They all know something that I think a lot of other companies would be wise to adopt, which is outbound's a great way of getting in first with the ideas that you want to, you know, put out there to the world and really talk to an audience that is a good fit for your product.
Yeah, we got to take a quick break here, pay some bills. We'll be back more with our guest today talking about outbound. I want to talk about some pitfalls of how companies approach it both internally and externally. We'll be right back on Sales Pipeline Radio.
How do you continue to drive predictable revenue in an increasingly unpredictable time? Creating a revenue growth engine is no small task, nor is it one that can be done overnight. And these days, it can feel harder than ever to hit your stride. So how can you overcome the obstacles? Read the new research report on the state of predictable revenue growth from Sixth Sense and Heinz Marketing. Get it now at hub.sixthsense.com/PRG. That's hub.sixthsense.com/PRG.
And now back to Matt and his guest.
Thank you, Paul. Well, it's an interesting topic today, something that in some corners can be controversial, but I don't really know why, because I think it's a strategy that, when done well, can be highly effective at driving one of our favorite topics, Paul, which is predictable pipeline. Talking today with Science Technology CMO Eric Konstrom. And, you know, Eric, sometimes if you talk to people, they're like, okay, I get it. Like, I think I can come up with the right target list and a good message. I'm just going to write a script and give it to a couple college graduates and have them set some appointments for me. And to quote Luke Skywalker in the Last Jedi, everything about that statement is an untrue and ineffective. Talk a little bit about some of the pitfalls that companies face that can artificially make outbound ineffective and fail.
Putting any campaign into the hands of the inexperienced is generally a recipe for failure. Any successful campaign really starts with strategy. It starts with understanding kind of who you're outreaching to. I love to think, because this is pretty much religion here at Science, that research matters because it saves time and efficiencies for all the motions that follow. If you get that piece of it wrong, like if you're just going to a phone book and you start dialing an A and ending with Z, you're just radically inefficient. On the flip side, once you get targeting down, you can really start to think deeply about what are some of the needs of this title, of this organization, of this particular role, and how does my product, service, or solution relate to solving those problems? And so you can make some educated guesses as to the kinds of things that the personas you're reaching out to are really going to care about, what their hot button issues are, what are the things that they're likely to respond to? And then also, you know, fairly big religion here, we like to hit on virtually every channel at our disposal. So we're multi-channel by default, which I think is a really tough thing to pull off if you're not used to designing a sales motion, a sales playbook for each and every channel at your disposal.
What about the idea of trying to systematize the outbound effort? Because I think key to making it work is having some kind of a process you follow. But I don't think scripts necessarily are the way to do that. I mean, the research, I agree with you, is really important. But how do you create that consistency? And then why do a lot of good appointments, a lot of good outbound efforts fail to get converted? Because I think especially in your organization, you guys are teeing up pipeline. You can throw that back to an organization and they can still fumble it. What are some of the keys to driving real qualified interest from the prospect? And what are the keys to converting that into authentic pipeline on the client side?
Sure. Great question. And, you know, I think about the sales cycle. Any sale is change. So you're really going through a change management process. At the very top of the funnel, initiating that change oftentimes has nothing to do with the brand of the product or service that you particularly inhabit. In fact, one of the pernicious mistakes that I see a lot of marketers make when experimenting with outbound is that they want to do outbound very similar to the way they do inbound or anything else. They want to lead with features and benefits. And that's a mistake. And the reason why is because nobody cares yet. And ultimately, if you can wrap anything, again, in the language of your persona, their problems, their needs, their goals, their hopes, their dreams, their own aspirations, so that they can begin to evaluate, again, your product or service or solution in a way that would be a better alternative, that would solve a discomfort that they currently have, that would be better than their current vendor or current way of attacking a particular problem. That's exactly where successful sales cycles are born. From that point forward through the rest of the sales cycle, outbound should be treated differently than all other channels in the go-to-market stack. Don't assume that people are doing their homework and forging their own research in the mythical 57% of the way through the buy cycle. Outbound actually can circumvent that process because it can set the agenda and get you in early. And the benefit to doing that for a sales team is to ultimately bring a buyer on a journey that you helped shape, right? And this is really where paying very close attention to how you've helped other customers in the past, not just post-sale and what you've solved for them, but how you helped get them to the mindset of why they needed your product or service in the first place, right? So that you're pattern matching and you're basically offering a solution to a prospect that you've already solved before. That's your unfair advantage. And bringing that forward through the sales cycle can allow for an organization to teach, educate, bring customers into their fold in ways that will make them better.
Just a few more minutes with our guest today on Sales Pipeline Radio, Eric Quanstrom. And, you know, you've been at Cyence now, 3.5 years or so. We're able to get some pretty solid footing and momentum before the pandemic hit. Can you talk a little bit about some of the pivots that you've had to make internally and what have some of the lessons been for you as a marketing leader, as a business leader, leading a team of marketers? What are some things that, you know, you think are going to be lessons that we can continue to, you know, use to improve our performance moving forward?
Yeah, it's been really fascinating is we landed on the Inc. 5000 list the last 2 years in a row, and that's a three-year study from first 2015 to 2018, then 2016 to 2019, prior to the pandemic hitting. So we were able to really grow and grow fast. Well, what I will say is during COVID, we had a fair number of our own clients pause and kind of like wait to see which way the wind blows. And then June, July, August, and September hit, and they've all been the four highest sales months in our entire company's history. And wow. I think one of the things that I attribute that to is that, number one, we drink a lot of our own champagne. Outbound is very key and very core to how we go to market as a brand. So we're actually, and this is going to get kind of meta, but we're actually showing how we do the job by doing the job that we're about to do for a lot of our clients. So they get comfortable with, oh, I could have that happen for my brand. And I can get a taste of what multi-channel orchestrated outbound actually feels like. That said, I think some of the other things me as a CMO have really been focused on and that we've been hearing a lot in kind of our sales cycles and anecdotally from our own clients is that after the pandemic kind of like took everybody and work from home and what do we do and all of the uncertainty, then the very next conversation that seems to be happening in so many organizations is, all right, how do I grow? Where's my next new deal coming from? how do I build pipeline right now? Because Q3 and Q4 and help Q1 of 2021 and beyond are where my head is now with my business.
Yeah, and it really, I think for companies that are trying to build qualified demand and pipeline from large organizations, I mean, they should be thinking about pipeline for 2021 and it's not assuming that the email next week and that quick growth hack tactic is going to help you get there. And it's certainly gratifying to see not only is outbound still highly successful, but you know, I got the question the other day, how are you adjusting to an all digital marketing landscape? And I said, well, it's not all digital for me. Like, I mean, you can still use the phone, you can still use direct mail. There's just, you know, these some of the previous expectations around those channels may have shifted a bit. But to be honest, Derek, I mean, it's great to hear you guys growing, but I think for your clients and for your pipeline, it should be good news to hear that a lot of companies are abandoning those channels because it means it's going to create more oxygen for those that use it and use it well to be successful.
Yeah, and let's be honest, from one marketer to another, the noise that's out there on virtually every channel is incredible. There is no golden ticket. There's no, you know, easy button that any marketer pushes anymore these days. All channels are kind of very occupied, very competitive, and super oftentimes expensive. So I kind of look at a lot of the companies that used to go to market pre-pandemic with huge event budgets and kind of relied on a lot of old strategies to get them through. Well, a lot of them are really thinking differently about their entire business. And thankfully, a lot of them are really coming around to the benefits of outbound and moving forward, I think, very strategically towards new growth.
Last question for you that I kind of briefly referenced at the beginning is sort of, you know, the fascination with inbound for a long period of time. You know, you had some software that generated a bit of a movement, and now you've got a bunch of people sort of saying, hey, like, it'd be great if I could just get everybody to come to me. My biggest challenge with inbound alone is, among other things, is that you really don't have control over quantity and quality of what comes in. In the last couple of minutes we have here, talk a little bit about the right balance between using inbound and outbound and how it's really maybe more a matter of all bound. It's sort of like finding the right mix of all of the above to make sure you're getting not just volume, but getting quality and consistency to hit your number.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, as someone who's been head of marketing for, geez, a decade and a half now, what I would say is that there is absolutely never anything wrong with inbound, and I'm an inbound supporter and enthusiast, if you will. That said, I think one of the smartest moves that I've implemented in any of my last few roles is really front-ending inbound with an SDR motion, so that ultimately what you're providing downstream to any sales team members that you're feeding is qualified, trusted leads. And I think that having an SDR for, you know, immediate response time, a very cogent qualification process that can and should be buyer focused, is really worth its weight in gold. And something that I would definitely advocate to any practitioner, any other fellow CMOs out there, largely because we've seen such great returns. And frankly, if you lose trust with the sales organization, so many podcasts about sales and marketing alignment, once that trust is lost, it frankly never comes back. So, you know, I'm a big believer in having marketing serve sales. And I think that having all of the motions that support the sales apparatus in any given organization is really smart, wise, resourceful thinking.
Last quick question before we have to wrap up. Things changed quite a bit in February, March of this year. Things are still going to stay a little, you know, socially distanced for a little while longer. What's something you miss from the beginning of the year that you're looking forward to eventually getting back to? And what's maybe something that you do not miss that was part of sort of your old life, professional or personal, that you're looking forward to leaving behind as well?
Wow, that's a great question. I think that I feel like I'm an extroverted person and I don't mind going to gatherings, parties, places where you just don't have to think twice about interacting with other people live and in person. Like events on the business side, like social gatherings on the personal side, that I just can't wait to get back to. And I feel like that's just something that can't come too soon. On the things that I won't miss, I think that one of the things that's fascinating, we're a company of just under 700 people, and we went entirely virtual in early March. I feel like slightly ahead of the curve, but our employees, for the most part, have said, you know, work from home works for us. And have really kind of raise their hands vociferously that there's a lot of economies of scales and efficiencies to not having a long commute or to getting back into kind of the way things were always done just because that's the way they were always done. So I think that the work from home kind of reality for most knowledge workers is going to be here to stay. And for a lot of people, that's a really big benefit.
Well, lots of good insights today on a lot of different topics. I want to thank our guest, Eric Quanstrom from Science Technologies, for sharing with us about a lot about inbound and about what's clearly still working as we navigate through 2020. We got to run. It's been great. Thanks very much for joining us. On behalf of my great producer, Paul, this is Matt Hines. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Sales Pipeline Radio.
And with that, we wrap up another episode of Sales Pipeline Radio right here on the Funnel Radio channel for at-work listeners like you.